Good morning. Sorry, I got lost. Here we go. Oh man, I lost it. Here we go. Sorry, this is a Vision for You Big Book study. 10 a.m. Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Diane B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, March 25th, 2022. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we are at page XXV, Roman numeral 25, paragraph 4. And today's readers are Jordan L., I'm sorry, Christina M. doing the steps, Terry H. doing the traditions. Jordan L. will be reading the text, Christina J. will be reading our vision for you. The reference numbers from yesterday, Thursday, March 24th at 10 a.m., the number is 18731, 18731. And this morning at the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, it's 18736, 18736. And also, we have a newcomer greeter of Jody EQ, and announcements are Shelley E. So, thank you everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through the abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Christina M. to read the 12 steps.
Thanks so much. Good morning. My name is Christina M., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service, and I pass.
Thank you very much. And now I will ask Terry H. to read the 12 traditions.
For your service. My name is Terry H. I'm a grateful food addict and compulsive overeaters anonymous. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God, as we may express Himself. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not need for us a desire to stop eating. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups of OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, never identify a name to any related facility or problem. Every OA group supporting a contribution. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service center, 9, be organized. 8.
Excuse me, you keep breaking up, Terry.
See if I can do something. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence, never into public controversy. 11. Rather than promotion. Always maintain personal anonymity. Press, radio, film, and other public media of community. Spiritual foundation, all these traditions, ever reminding us to four personalities. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to start today.
Thank you. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page XXV, Roman numeral 25. We're on paragraph 4, and it begins in the course of his third treatment. So I will now ask Jordan L. to please read.
Hey, good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting this morning of Overeaters Anonymous. It's just the one paragraph, right, Diane? Sorry.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Awesome. So in the course of his third treatment, he acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. As part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics, impressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. This has become the basis of a rapidly growing fellowship of these men and their families. This man and over 100 others appear to have recovered. It's Bill that we're talking about here. This is Dr. Silkworth is the well-known physician that worked with Bill. He was like an alcoholic physician. Alcoholics were his specialty, right? And he worked with Bill. And I love how the doctor points out here that it was the third treatment. I think that's good. I think that the reason that this fellowship was able to come to fruition was the humility that was displayed in the founding of all of it, you know? So Bill comes in for his third time. And at this point, like, Bill's hopeless. The doctor's probably feeling pretty hopeless. He's worked with him two other times, and it hasn't taken yet, you know? And Bill's got this like wacky idea to present conceptions to other alcoholics. He asked the doctor if he can do that with some of his other patients, you know. and It says, pressing upon them that they must do likewise with still others. And yes, that's certainly part of it. I also, when I work with others, I also impress upon them that this is part of my rehabilitation, right? That this is how I work my program and continue to develop this spiritual experience that keeps me abstinent and sane. Sane for the most part. and so that's it, right? Like that humility is what this fellowship is based on. It's our foundation and how we built it up. There's no guarantees here. We're not like other diet clubs where we guarantee you'll lose 10 pounds if you do this, this, and this in the next 4 weeks or whatever those crazy diet plans promise, you know. Not to say that they don't work. If that works for someone, awesome, great. That's absolutely wonderful. I came here. It was also the course of my third time being here that this finally took for me. That I finally got to a point where I could read these instructions and do these things, not so much because someone was demanding it of me, but because I had no other choice. Nothing else had worked. I had run out of ideas. I had done all of the things that were on my power, were powered by me or other humans, other worldly solutions, and none of those had worked. So I showed up here for the third time and was willing to do, willing to take the directions that other compulsive overeaters, particularly in this group, were talking about. And I've remained abstinent since and been able to do this same thing, present my conceptions to other alcoholic or to other compulsive overeaters, and participate in this, you know, and stay abstinent myself. So, a very special thing. Thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you so much, Jordan. We will now close. I'm sorry. Here we go. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1. We will now take names for people who would like to share. Star 1 to unmute.
Bruce E.
Joan R.
John B.
Deborah G.
Got room for a few more. Okay, I have Bruce E., Joan R., John B., Deborah G. Does anybody else want to jump on? Okay, Bruce E., please press star 1 to unmute and share.
Okay, thank you. Let me know if you don't hear me very well. This is Bruce E. I'm recovered. I'm in Southwest Florida. Happy to be here today. Thanks everybody that's doing service. Thanks everybody that's on the line. And yeah, the doctor, you know, I just keep thinking here that this doctor is sort of doing our work for us. You know, he's writing this letter and he's kind of explaining everything. And he may not be that spiritually attached, or he may be, but he's doing a lot of work for us here. And he saw Bill as hopeless, told us that previously, and now he's talking in a different light. And Bill's on his third treatment. third time was the charm, right? And it only took me a little over 25 years, so I did it. Took a little more than three times. So anyway, He talks about his third treatment. He acquired certain ideas concerning a possible means of recovery. So what I'm getting is that Ebby came to the hospital and gave him certain ideas, which is the steps, six steps then, but 12 steps now, of Alcoholics Anonymous. And Bill got it. You know, the light went on, kind of like I finally got on this call and started working with a sponsor, and the light went on. As part of rehabilitation, I think this is really important here, where he says as part of his rehabilitation, he commenced to present his conceptions to other alcoholics. In other words, part of him getting sober and staying sober is that he has to take this message to other people, to other alcoholics. He got to tell other people. And that's the way I'm seeing it now. I had this guy, it's awesome. This guy, he just calls me out of the blue. He had been coming to a face-to-face meeting years ago, well, a number of years ago. And and we decided to meet, and we decided to just start reading the big book together. And I'm recovered. He isn't yet. He's struggling a lot still and trying to figure out a way, trying to get this thing. And it's just two drunks reading the literature together, you know. And I think it's working. It seems to be working. So that's what Bill wants to do. Is he wants to, part of his rehab is to present these conceptions to other alcoholics, and explaining to them that they got to do the same thing with other people. So when I've told this to people, and probably the first time I ever heard it, first or second time I ever heard it or so, somebody said to me, well, you got to go and take this message to other people. And I'm thinking, what, I got to do this? I don't want to do this. I just want to sit and listen to this. And, you know, I don't want to have to do that, you know. But so I tell people that, and they give me a funny look, you know, thank you. And you know, I got to keep telling people to do this, and I got to keep doing it myself. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much. And now we have Joan R. followed by John D.
Hi, this is Joan R. from Oregon. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all you who are serving, and I'm very grateful to be recovered and to be on this meeting this morning. It's a gift, and it was directions this morning. You know, do what my higher power guides me into. So the word that jumps out at me is also rehabilitation, and it's a been 45 years since I entered 12-step world, and it's been just the last 3 weeks that I've been I've actually experiencing the 10-step promises. And always was my goal, but there's a lot of me, and that was blocking the you know, this gift that comes, it comes without me really being that involved at all. It just happens, you know. When you read those 10-step promises, I mean, they were like gold to me. I was like, yes, that's what I want. That's what I want. Well, was I willing to do it? You know, and I got back onto Vision, which in the last 7 years that I had been before has evolved so beautifully, and is so invested with the truth of how a sick people can recover. And you know, Bill, you know, he definitely shows his you know, lots of stuff about him being sick over and over, another 5 years, you know, all these things that he was still resisting. And and the gift comes to him by the grace of a higher power from and from the the speaking out of a friend of his, an alcoholic friend of his, who had just recovered. So that's kind of what I see, that it's Dr. Silkworth, it's all this higher power than us directed. So yes, this rehabilitation can come to any of us. And that's my little message this morning. Thanks for being here, and thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you. We have John B. next, followed by Deborah G.
Thanks. I'm John, a compulsive overeater. Grateful for this meeting today and the opportunity to share. One thing I can say is my way has not worked, never worked. Plenty of times I found myself in weight loss, but never a real solution. And this is a spiritual program, and we don't have to twist our higher power's arm to do it. We do have to let go of our way. And I'm just grateful for those 100, and grateful for the many who have recovered. Or somebody who's working this program can ever give us their experience. Recovery is a gift. Recovery is ours. We can't manufacture. We can't put it on like a switch. It is a gift. And I don't need to be in the blues to get in the food. I can be happy. I can be sad. I can have, you know, end of the day treat or cheat day or any reason to eat. But today, I don't need to do that. I have a lot of life that's on me. And my food has been calling me. I went to a place today, and all of a sudden had a food thought. And I had only two choices, to keep it in and let that thought ponder, or to be honest in real time. I had to tell somebody. I had to call a fellow. I had to commit a meeting. I'm not regularly on the 10 o'clock Vision to You meeting, but it's what I needed today. And I'm grateful for my higher power, because we don't have to have a program like this where you can call, you can get help and support. I could be just stuck with my idea that this piece of food would make me better or make me feel better or will take away my problems, but it won't. So I'm just grateful for a program today. I've done my prayer and meditation. I've done my outreach plan. I'm on my way home to commit my food to my sponsor. I will take a picture of everything I ate today. I'm on a meeting now. We do a meeting later. So that's how I've worked my program for 104 days, finding hope and strength and recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. John, Deborah G., you're up. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Oh, good morning. Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater, and thank you so much for leading the meeting and everyone that's made this meeting possible and all the shares 12-step in me today. It's just been wonderful. Oh, I just love this program. And it was bringing up for me the shares how sick and suffered I was in insanity trying to manage this food, trying to manage me, trying to manage my life, trying to manage that suffering and insanity. And it didn't feel good at all. And then when I realized I was holding on to one of my alcoholic foods and said, you know, finally realized I can't be doing this anymore, it was awakened to me. You know, I saw it right in front of my face finally. And it was devastating. And then I let go of that. And then I got myself a vision sponsor. And she guided me through those beautiful 12 steps. And I had abstinence. It was so cool. You know, from the beginning to the end, I had abstinence. You know, there was a solution. There was help. It was working me. And then it's so cool now when I work with sponsees that can't get abstinent, And I just do the same thing with them, guide them through those beautiful 12 steps. And they're abstinent, you know, and they're abstinent even before we finish. They stay abstinent while we're in the steps. Some do, some don't. But I mean, it's just an amazing, amazing, beautiful thing to watch happen in someone where they were suffering and then they're no longer suffering. And that's what I want to continue to do. That has opened my heart up, opened my awareness, you know, more alert, awake, aware of others, myself and others, and wanting to help. Use me, like that St. Francis prayer. Help me to be a channel. And I want to continue doing that and seeing people and grow, the growth that happens because of doing this. It's just amazing. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. In order to allow the most people to share, I can't find it. Anyway, we ask that you not share if you shared in the past 3 days. So we can now take more names of people who would like to share today.
Christina J.
Christina J.
Amy M. C.
Linda B.
Amy.
Tom L.
Tom. I missed somebody after Amy.
Linda B.
Was it, I'm sorry?
Linda B.
Linda B.
Can you also repeat what paragraphs we are discussing this morning?
Yes, we're on page XXV, paragraph 4. Our book, in the course of the third treatment. So I've got Christina J., Amy, Tom, Linda B.
Babylonia A.
Babylonia A. Okay, great. So let's start with Christina J. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning, Christina. Jay from the state of Washington today, recovered by God's mercy. So if I'm hanging on this paragraph here, in the course of his treatment, he acquired certain ideas. So for me, this is God working through this man. A friend of mine called a little while ago in program and said she is not other-centered, she's God-centered. And I've been thinking about this paragraph all morning, thinking about how selfish I am. I'm very selfish still. I want to live life the way I want to live it. I have really never thought of others, helping others, other than through my career. I figured if I became famous, then I would help others through my talents and stuff. But it was all about me, really, getting validated. Me. I was doing it for me, for my love, for my heart, for what I needed. So what does this God center do for us? You know, for new, we just are in this first few paragraphs here going, well, you know, I don't want to necessarily help others. I don't know if I could do that, you know, blah, blah, blah. I said the same thing. But as we go through this program and we shed that food, we shed that poison, and we shed what we discover in ourselves, the food is holding us back. When I was in the food, I couldn't know that I was selfish or self-centered. Dishonest or fearful. I didn't know those things. The food became the problem. And when I put the food down in a diet, then I got really uncomfortable and I didn't have anything to use. So I went back to the food. So the food's out of the way. The feelings are coming up. I don't feel like being helpful to anyone. But I go through this program and I work the steps and the crap is removed. And I practice new ways of being, doing in the world. Then I get this heart that's God-centered. And what does a heart in God-centered do, God-centeredness do? What does service do? It brings me to the truth of my being, which is caring and compassion for others, true moral character, to the realms beyond my selfishness. So that's what recovery is for me. This is the message that I must carry, is the true God-centered self. I cannot be other-centered without being God-centered. And this is what this program does for me. It brings me to that place where I become a good, moral, upstanding human being. This is what recovery is. And I'm just grateful that I'm learning this, because this program takes you deeper and deeper. You know, don't give up before the miracle happens. Don't give up until the miracles keep happening. Because you have one miracle after another miracle after another miracle. And I so appreciate everyone, and I'll pass.
Thank you. Now we have Amy. Please give us your last initial.
Thank you. Hi, this is Amy MC calling from Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you to Team Friday for all of your service, and welcome to the newcomer. Thank you to everybody who has shared, and for those of us who will share. I especially like what was just shared, in the sense of what I see from this paragraph is the idea of carrying the message. And, you know, for me, as it was said, you know, when I came into the rooms and before I got recovered and put down the food, I was so self-centered. And it certainly still pops up and it creeps back into my life. But the blessing that God has bestowed upon me today is that every day is one day at a time. And I get to not only start fresh in that new day, but I get to do something called a 10th step and really turn around that ego, the selfishness, self-seeking dishonesty, and fears that come up that I used to eat over. And that's exactly what I used to do. I used to eat over them. I mean, I love working with others and sharing how I would eat at people, you know. I was feeling so irritable and discontented that I would go home and eat because somebody, you know, disrupted me, you know. I did not like something someone else did. And what I see in this paragraph here is definitely the promise. It's the promise that, excuse the dog and the cat and the baby, but it's the promise that there's a means of recovery here. And as part of the rehabilitation, presenting our conceptions to other alcoholics and impressing on them that they must do likewise with still others, it's carrying the message. It's being the message. It is being God-centric. It's getting rid of my ego, and it is allowing God to take over and work in me, as we said a couple days ago, you know, the language of the heart, and really lead with love and tolerance and pity and patience, and just carry that message, because this is such a gift. And every day I get to go to sleep and thank God for entire abstinence. And every day I get to wake up and pray for entire abstinence again. I get to work with others. I get to work with a sponsor, other sponsees, sharing in meetings, and just doing it with the joy that program has brought me in putting down the food. And this was the only solution for me. So I'm so grateful to be able to share here today. And I wish everybody a beautiful, blessed day. And I pass.
Thank you. Tom, followed by Linda B. And Tom, if you could give us the initial of your last name, please.
Okay. This is Tom. Hopefully you can hear me.
Yes.
Good morning, everyone, all hundreds of you. I like that. We're meeting Bill, of course, when he's already scraping the bottom. You know, we're in Bill's story, we'll get to how he got there. And I think that's the important part, because it's easy. Oh, that was a hopeless alcoholic. Well, what does that mean? What is a hopeless compulsive overeater? For me, like others have shared, and it's good to hear people that I actually talk to on this meeting. For me, I was willing to put up with a lot of stuff so I could have my food. I was willing to live on disability. I was willing to live in a basement apartment all alone and be hundreds of pounds overweight and to have the internet. I was willing to give up a lot so that I could continue my addiction. And I should have died there. I mean, that's the kind of compulsive overeater I am. But I was given an opportunity to recover, and I took it, and I lost all my weight, and I was able to, you know, get back on my feet. And then, of course, I took my will back, because course I did. And I crashed again. And I got to the point, and as Bill got to the point, whereas I didn't have a choice. I couldn't go back to that safe little hole with the food. I needed to find an answer. So I called someone who works a program that's right out of this big book, and we went through the book, and he had a story that was as horrendous as my own, if not worse. And I trusted him. And one of the first things he told me was that you have to find, get sober and then help the next guy. If you don't, you're going to die. And from him, from his lips, I believed him. And that was, that was 8 months ago. Don't claim to have a lot of sobriety. I do have neutrality around food, which is amazing. There's a lot of, my first recovery began in 2002. A lot of bumpy roads since then of trying to do my own way. I love it. I'm naturally selfish. I don't want to give stuff away if I don't get paid for it. But I don't have a choice. Bill didn't have a choice. I mean, he should have died. It's a miracle. All the things happened just the way they should that made this book possible, and that the book actually does keep people like me from jumping off a cliff. Anyway, I appreciate you all being here, and it's good to hear a couple of people I know in offline, and have a great day.
Thank you. Okay, Linda B., followed by Babylonia A.
Hello, this is Linda B., calling from Vancouver, Canada. And I am a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater. When I think about Dr. Silkworth, I think about my doctor as a child. And I was born with this disease. And so I was the fat girl in a very loving family. And nobody knew what to do about it. And this kindly doctor, and he used to come to our house. That's how long ago it was. Doctors came to your house. And, even as a child, I could sense his despair. He just didn't know. He didn't know what to do or what to tell my parents to do. And, what I do remember is that at one point he gave us these vitamins and they were really tasty. That's what sticks out to me is the tastiness of these vitamins, of course, because that's me. And then, we were in a small town, and I remember one friend of my dad's was an alcoholic. And so I knew what alcoholism was. And as a young adult, I can even clearly remember saying to my mom, she would try to say, I'd say, no, I'm on a diet, as I got older, right? I was dieting, of course. And no, I'm on a diet. I can't eat any of your cake. And she would say, just have one piece. And I would say, Mom, that would be like saying to an alcoholic, have one drink. So I knew that part of the problem. I knew part of the problem even all those years ago. And, through a rocky path, I found OA, but still stumbled around. But just in terms of passing it on, I've been through the steps, but just each time, going deeper and deeper, not deeper and deeper into the steps, unfortunately, deeper and deeper into the disease when I would relapse. But, finally, one last time recently, I picked up the phone to call somebody to ask them to sponsor me. And, just the enthusiasm of this person that took my call and agreed to be my sponsor, it caught me in, and I just, I'm working the steps once again, and I'm just very, very grateful for this meeting and for being on the line and to everybody on here. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Linda B. And now we have Babylonia A. Star 1 to unmute, please.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's having a wonderful day so far. I know that this disease has had me since I was a little girl. I remember from the age of 5 looking at a boy in my first grade class and thinking and having a crush on him and thinking he would never like me because I was too fat, even though I wasn't even, but I had that sense, and I know that that's tied to my disease. And then from childhood, I just was always using food as a crutch, and I didn't know that I was doing that until I got into this program. And now I actually am like, because I'm eating so well, I'm not eating alcoholic foods and I'm exercising, I actually am taking good care of myself and I'm loving myself more than I ever have in my life. And now that the food is gone, I'm getting emotionally recovered. So I'm losing that sense of self-centeredness, although I know I'm still, I have a long way to go and to be of maximum service to God and my fellows, but I'm getting there and I'm growing more loving and tolerant. And this morning I read a quote that really struck me, and it was that everything happens for a reason and leads to something positive. And I know that's like common knowledge, but it struck me today that like, no matter what I'm going through or what any of us are going through, God is always there. And that just gives me strength to walk through it without worrying about what's going to happen or what I'm feeling, because I know that God is good all the time. And that just gives me the sense of security, even though I might be feeling a certain way. So I just am so grateful that this program has brought me closer to God, and that that we can lean on Him. I can lean on Him for everything, and I'm just, it's a miracle. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. In order that, although we value your experience, we ask that you, oh, so sorry, everybody. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared yesterday or the day before, please give somebody else a chance. And I can take names and numbers now. I mean, names and
Donna W. Donna W.
Don.
Donna. Donna. Don.
Donna B.
Donna B and Donna W?
Correct. There are two of us.
Wow. Excellent. Double Donna Day.
Sivia VG.
Oh, Sivia. Hi, Sivia.
Hi, Diane.
Donna W, Donna B, Sivia VG. We have time for a few more. Okay, Donna W, star one to unmute.
Thank you so much. This is Donna W calling in from, I'm based in California, but I'm in Houston today visiting in-laws. First of all, the thing that struck me was, you know, they had 100 people recovered and they wrote a book. I mean, that they must have had just such a profound experience. Everything, you know, we got to write a book, get the word out. I think that's amazing. I don't know if nowadays, if there is something from 100, just a, quote, just 100 people that it would be book worthy or, and then, you know, we talk about things going viral today. I mean, the AA went viral. It's just amazing how fast it grew. I'm just so grateful for all the shares. I'm in Houston visiting in-laws. I don't feel really safe with this part of the family. So I just really needed to listen to shares today to remember that I get to pray for them. It's not about me. I get to be of maximum service. I get to work my program, do outreach calls. My sponsor asked me, do they have bathrooms there? Yes, they have bathrooms here. So you could go to the bathroom, commit calls, breathe, connect with your higher power. So it's just so good to remember I'm not alone. And I had a big event happen this week. I put an offer on a house and it did not get accepted. And I was just like, okay, this is not the place that's right for us right now. So it's just nice to be able to not be in that huge, you know, trauma drama thing. It's like, okay, the next, you know, the right house is coming. I got to just turn it over to my higher power. And when life gets overwhelming, it really, really helps me just to do 1 hour at a time. I can just do an hour, let my higher power run the show today. I'm just going to let my higher power run the show. And remember, I am part of this amazing fellowship around the world. I am not alone. And I really needed to know that today. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you. Now we have Donna B. So I want to unmute.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I do spell my name D-A-N-A, although it's pronounced Donna. I'm really grateful to be in the doctor's opinion again. This is a chapter that really changed my life. And when I take sponsees through it, I take them through this chapter as if and with the hope and potential that their life will be transformed as well. That allergy of the body, especially as it relates to food, is pretty, it's just a phenomenal awareness to have. And it's such a pleasure when I work with others to help identify their alcoholic food ingredients, especially the wily ones that aren't obvious. I get really excited for them and for myself because I think, wow, we have found something that if you put it down, you may actually experience freedom. You may actually experience a type of neutrality you've never had before. I've heard others say that when potential sponsees call them and they're crying and they're desperate, they're like, yes, this is great. This person's going to do the work. They are ready for step one. And I have that same level of enthusiasm when identifying alcoholic food ingredients. There's so much hope for a life that can be transformed by putting those foods down. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you. Sivia, I'm so sorry we don't have time for you today, but I hope that you will find someone to speak with today or as soon as you can.
No worries, thanks.
Okay, sorry. Thank you. So, let's see. We'll now close with the reading. Nope. Yes, we'll now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Christina J. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning again, Christina J. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. Excuse me, this is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.